Football Gamers, and welcome to episode number 162 of the NLSC Podcast. Yes, the NLSC Podcast, your source for video game chatter. I am your host, Andrew. My co-hosts are the lovely Ben, also known as Arcane.
I appreciate the lovely thing.
And the equally lovely Kenny, also known as Bad Religion AU at times.
Thank you, Andrew. It's good to be here.
I'm tolerable, you know, not so lovely. I'm tolerable. We're recording this a little bit early this week. We have three of us, I should say, have a few things on this week, and I in particular need to have a very early night tomorrow night, and sometimes we end up talking till very late in the morning, which we'll try to avoid, as I know you have some things on tomorrow, Ben, and as do you, Kenny, as do I. So NBA Finals Game 3, if nothing else. But I mentioned Game 3, the finals, because we will be talking about the finals at some point, and this is obviously probably going to go up after the game. Game 3 has been played, at which point a lot of the things we may talk about are irrelevant. But nevertheless, we are here to talk to you about what's been happening for the last week in basketball and basketball video games. Guys, not a lot of news at this time of the year, as I've said before, but this past week in particular hasn't really delivered us a lot of... A lot of meaty subjects to talk about, I have to admit.
Yeah, it's sort of like the quiet before the storm. I'm hoping after next week we'll start to get a gauge or something, right, if anything.
I mean, E3 might deliver something our way. EA is not going to be at E3. They've got their own EA Play event, which I don't think NBA Live 17 is going to be shown at in any way, shape, or form. A little bit too early for that. But we did talk a little bit about NBA Live 17 developments last week. Nothing new on that front. But a couple of things about NBA Live and NBA 2K to talk about nevertheless. And the first thing that we're going to talk about this week, we'll tip off our show with... We've discussed this before, and it was suggested that we talk about it, and we did touch on it a couple of weeks ago. But the continued lack of updates for NBA Live 16 through the playoffs. And I logged into... Well, I booted up NBA Live 16 today and fired up the Big Moments guys and noticed that, yeah, they still haven't actually updated the Big Moments since March 3rd.
Whew.
Which is over 3 months ago and misses out the last couple of last few weeks of the season, the regular season, and the first couple of months of the playoffs as well. It's disappointing to say the least that there are spotlight players in Live Ultimate Team, but there are no new challenges. They've still got the season challenges going, and the rookie challenges are there, and the master challenges, but the weekly challenges haven't been updated. There's been no new weekly challenges since the playoffs began. And as we discussed before, it would seem like a really good idea to push some content through at least to get people aware of the brand and confident for NBA Live 17.
Yeah, sorry, I'll let Kenny answer that first.
Yeah, I think it would be a good idea for them just to push out some more content, like particularly with the delay and everything like that. As for the Big Moments thing, I was going to say that maybe that's their commentary on, you know, them believing that there have been no Big Moments since March, so, you know.
Well, touche, I may not disagree there.
I mean, I might disagree a little bit, but yeah.
Here and there, there has been a few moments that you would want to immortalize, I suppose, but in video game form. But no, it's as we've discussed before, it would really behoove them to push some kind of content through, if not through the playoffs, then certainly through the off season and leading up to the pushed back release of NBA Live 17. I guess they're focusing on NBA Live 17, which I suppose should be the priority, and if they are putting all their great work into that, so much the better. But they do have to build up that goodwill, and the lack of updates and the rosters kind of being a bit... not even getting the update blogs on the official site explaining what's been done update to update. Even not having that, it's just... it's just something to have that communication and that goodwill with the community.
Also, I think they need to pick up their game a little bit, particularly since NBA 2K16 was released free on PS Plus. So I think they need to do something in order to compete with that.
Yeah, and, of course they did EA Access. They don't have any agreements with PlayStation, but yeah, it's you know, when you can get that free all through June and all the continued updates for NBA 2K16, it's a lot to compete with on top of the discrepancy in the reception to the game, shall we say.
I was also thinking on the other side of that, with 2K16 coming out free on PS Plus, there's potentially an opportunity there because a lot of people could be trading in their copy of 2K16 to their local game retail or whatever. I know somebody who actually did, just so like they can download it on PS Plus and have the game for free, as well as like money back from the game that they bought.
Yeah, so,
absolutely. Yeah, they could, a few people to do that actually.
They can buy Live 16 with that money, potentially.
Sure.
So yeah, there's an opportunity.
And I have actually noticed, looking at the numbers in the menu, that more people seem to be playing Live Pro-Am. So there does actually seem to be some more interest there. There could be people playing the demo, who knows. But I know people have picked up the game since the new year, basically, and have been saying that they've really been getting into it. So it does actually look like there are some more people getting involved, at least kind of nighttime US time. So
is the live demo still functional?
Last time I checked, it is still available in the PlayStation Store. As far as I know, it's functional as long as it's
the early one, just like the sort of pre-release one. Yeah, it did stop working in that. That's all.
Okay.
Oh, so you got to download it again.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
Right.
Cause,
okay.
Because it was like a beta, wasn't it?
It was, but well. It could be. I don't know whether the demo that's on the store at the moment has actually been updated.
Well,
it might have been. Because that was one thing that I remember, that the demo wasn't going to receive any of the patches.
Yeah.
Or at least that was the initial plan. Which is kind of a shame, because some of those first few patches really did fix up some nagging issues in the game. So I kind of hope they do have a patched version available now. But nevertheless, it is still available last time I checked. I did go ahead and check that when I was making the news post for the EA Access, just to see whether I could say if you're on PlayStation you can still check out the demo. Apparently you can. I got the full version early myself, so I didn't need to.
What I might do actually is I might, even though I hadn't finished the remastered trilogy and all that, so I'll probably uninstall the Nathan Drake Collection. I'll probably put in a few hours of Live 16 and that on the full version, and I'll actually get to test the app with my face and that, and see if I can get how well it turns out. So,
oh, with a new phone?
Yeah, because that one's got far more updated OS. So,
well, stay tuned for Ben's face in 2K versus Ben's face in Live,
yep.
and Ben's cat in 2K versus Live.
Well, I can do that in Live because it accepts 5 seconds.
You can see if you can be cat person.
Yeah.
So
No, cat man.
Careful, we're gonna pay for it. Yeah, 2K wouldn't really.
It was different. It was cat man. Not.
That's right. It's legally distinct.
Yes.
If there's any lawyers out there listening.
Transformative, I think, is the word.
Exactly. So we'll continue to cover that, and Ben, if you're going to be playing some Live 16, we'll get some, I guess, some thoughts from you on the full version in weeks to come, and we'll let people know if there's any other news about Live 16 or Live 17, of course. But moving on to NBA 2K, 2K Sports has been unveiling their talent lineup, I guess you would call it, hashtag Team 2K. It's for the NBA 2K17, of course. The cover player himself is Paul George, who was revealed last week. But in addition to Paul George, we also have Andre Drummond, who has been making some appearances in commercials and working with 2K, I believe, and mocap and such in the last couple of years, which I know Leftos is probably very excited about, as I recall.
Probably just wishes he could, padlock him to his desk every day and then come back and feed him and walk him and then pat him. And
Don't know about that. I think he wants him on the Pistons out in the court. But
well, I meant during the off season.
Oh, during the off season, right. Okay.
And then he lets him out to play preseason and regular season. I would say playoffs, but Oh no, they did make the playoffs.
They made the playoffs. Yeah, the Bulls didn't. So let's not give Leftos a chance to rub that in again. So Andre Drummond, Paul George, of course, the cover player. Kevin Durant, the NBA 2K15 cover player, still on Team 2K. Looking at and of course Karl Anthony Towns, who I believe is going to be the cover player at some point in the near future, especially after the rookie campaign he had.
Yeah, probably in the next couple of years. I'd say within the next two.
So I got
a theory that obviously they got Drummond because of Leftos. Kelly right. Olynyk because of John.
Well, not unless Kelly is really kind of cut his hair, because the other silhouettes do not really resemble Kelly. But looking at those silhouettes, I just shot through the tweet in case you guys haven't seen the latest picture. Looking at those silhouettes, any speculation?
I'd say the left one, Kyrie.
The far left?
Yeah.
I'm just having a look now.
Maybe Anthony Davis.
I was thinking Anthony Davis was going to be one of them next to Durant.
Yeah. And then, let's see, with that hairstyle.
Jimmy Butler?
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean... Going out on a limb.
It definitely would, unless it's swaggy Nick Young.
Oh, please don't be him.
That'd be a...
I imagine it'd be a slightly higher profile.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to go with the cut of the jersey and obviously the style of the hair. And the trim of the sleeves and that doesn't suggest Bulls unless it's the alternative, which has a slightly wider cut. But I don't know, it's kind of similar cut to...
Okay, so that was on the 2K account. I might just look at it through my phone because my PC doesn't seem to be like cooperating very much.
Not cooperating, though.
If that second one isn't Anthony Davis, Draymond Green, maybe? Going sort of with the bulb head.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Yeah, I think it's could very well be Draymond. You're talking about the one
between Durant and Paul George?
Yeah, yeah. I think that could be him and
Well, actually, with that, Davis has kind of got that cut throughout the season, hasn't he? Anthony Davis, could he be the one between Towns and Drummond?
Yeah, he looks like he's about the same height as Drummond, actually. So, yeah, it could be him.
More likely than Butler. I just kind of looked at the box cut and thought maybe, but obviously he was a cover player of NBA 2K16, one of the three, so. Might possibly.
Yeah. And if it's not Kyrie on the left, who do you reckon?
Maybe, I don't know, I was thinking maybe Damian Lillard, maybe, but maybe not.
Let's have a closer look at the shape.
I think it's Kyrie.
Yeah.
Just like from the first look. And...
Yeah. I don't think it'd be Lillard. I think Lillard's got a slightly, a more dome-ish as opposed to pointed sort of tip head, if that makes sense.
The head shape doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Really,
He kind of looks a little stockier, so I might say Chris Paul.
Like, I did think Paul at first,
Like around the. I feel like his frame looks a bit. Stockier than Kyrie's, but you know, it might be wrong.
Wouldn't be Kobe with a bald head, would it?
It might be. You never know.
Then again, he's in the background. Are they going to put Kobe? And Kobe is, of course, on the Legends Edition.
And he's not holding a ball by the looks of it, so that's not Kobe at all.
Wow.
See, Nick Young and Kobe, two shots fired at the Lakers in this episode so far.
Well, Chris Manning is a big Laker fan, so.
Yep, shout out to LD2K, of course.
Actually, I just noticed...
And Kevin in the forums.
I just noticed something. The they forgot to hide a layer on the 2K17 logo.
Oh, okay.
Like the layer behind, like there's a duplicate of the 2K17 logo.
Mm-hmm.
It's like EA with Live 16 for the PS4 cover, and that actually had, they forgot to hide a layer of that, and so you sort of got two NBA Live 16s, but one slightly smaller. And so it kind of ruins it from the images and stuff that they had on their press releases and stuff. So,
oh, I thought you must have noticed something that was going to clue us in on the,
nah,
the player.
No, I'm just checking to see if that looks, it's supposed to be like a 3D effect.
Looking closer, I'm guessing it's not not Kirby. But in any event, you can see the teaser. More reveals are happening every day at noon Pacific Standard Time. Basically, for the next few days, I guess. I'm guessing they're only going to really reveal the next three.
Maybe
that will be it.
Maybe one surprise legend, or two surprise legend ones.
Maybe. I guess nothing really exciting except for us to have a bit of fun speculating on, but
yep.
You know, those are the players that will be endorsing the game, so they'll probably be prominently featured in screenshots and trailers when they are released in the coming weeks and months.
And then obviously probably the first few episodes of 2K TV.
Probably all in there too, of course. Shout out to John, of course.
Is the one furthest to the left Spike Lee, potentially? Just throwing that out there now.
I am encouraged by the lack of Spike Lee's name on the cover this year, the Paul George cover. So unless there's going to be an amended cover that comes out.
Please don't do that.
I think when NBA 2K13 was released and they had the Jay-Z cover, the initial reveal didn't have Jay-Z's name on it.
Right.
So that may have been a late sort of thing, I'm guessing.
When they revealed his involvement in the game, so maybe there's some terrible news yet to come with my career.
I feel the disturbance in the force.
Here's hoping.
Or maybe the.
Sorry, I was going to say, here's hoping for DJ Khaled instead.
But you know, maybe they listened to the feedback and realized that people, I haven't really heard anyone that said they really loved that story in my career this year. I think people might have said, oh, well, I didn't hate it, but that's not exactly a ringing endorsement. I didn't hate it.
I think the best reviews I've heard are, you know, I thought it was okay. Like that,
yeah.
That's the best like I've heard from it so far. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's when you can try something else, when it's just okay. Maybe it's time to look in a different direction and see what else you can do that's a bit better than okay, living up to the rest of the features of my career, which, as we've discussed before, are pretty good otherwise, apart from having to vibrate through that frequent story. vibrate through the frequent cutscenes. But yes, I guess we may give some more coverage to that. I haven't bothered covering it on the main page or anything with the NBA 2K17 coverage, because it's not that exciting. But again, not a lot to talk about this week, so I thought we'd mention it on the podcast, have a bit of fun speculating, and yeah, feel free to discuss in the forum if you feel so inclined. Speaking of which, just want to throw out some housekeeping matters before we talk about our week in basketball gaming. We have had some issues over the last 24 hours since we recorded this. I know for some people I've been having trouble getting onto the site itself, or in some cases, they can get onto the main site, but not the forum and the download section. The download section, of course, is integrated in the forum these days. And just some behind-the-scenes stuff that we're doing at the moment. Changed a couple of things. Nothing exciting, just technical stuff. But it has meant that we had to. there might be some DNS issues, which you might have encountered. Hopefully, we'll have those fixed up by the time this podcast goes live. If not, we are doing the best we can to get that all up and running, so please bear with us. Please keep trying. I suppose if you're listening to this, you're at least getting onto the main page, so thank you for that. But it does seem that some people are still having problems with the forum and indeed the main site. And I know you guys had some problems when you were testing for me just before we started recording.
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll all be fixed up by the time this is up on the site. I can still access the site, so I'm having a great time posting and posting articles and news and threads in the forum. But yes, please sit tight. And if you do have any, if there's any technical issues that you ever run into, Feel free to shoot me an email at andrew@nba-live.com, or if you can access the main page, you can also use the contact form just to let us know. If I don't know you're having problems, then it's hard for me to address them. So if there's any issues with the advertising or accessing your forum account or anything else like that, just let me know so I can fix that up for you. But with that being said, we've pretty much covered all the news this week, so it's time to talk about our week in basketball gaming.
Puts it down! What a play!
Oh, that's a sweet finish right there.
And guys, more Pro-Am, and we won a few games in the, I don't want to say shameful way, but it certainly was the most anticlimactic way possible.
and given that, you know, the oppositions were actually winning.
Yeah, it was, we won a few, was it a couple of games we won by forfeit, or two or three?
It was two, yeah.
It was two. We had our moments again. We are the 5-minute all-stars. we can put together an amazing quarter. Sometimes two, you know, the 10-minute all-stars. We did fall apart.
That's when we have our Gatorade, though.
That's right. You know, it's, what will Clark Kellogg say in that situation? I don't know, because we don't have commentary in 2K Pro-Am, so we're missing out on all the food references and puns. It was. Yeah, it was kind of funny that we won a game on a forfeit after someone got blocked. You know, it was a game, as you put it on the YouTube video, Kenny. It was a game-winning block, but not the usual variety of game-saving blocks.
Yeah, I felt the need to give it that distinction because, I mean, I guess, technically we did win the game like right after it, but yeah, it was because
caused a rage quit or something.
Because they quit, yeah.
the first one, was it the first game we lost when we had a rematch with someone who beat us soundly, and obviously they just didn't want to play us again?
So
they gave a loss to us.
Yeah, that was one of our wins. I don't know. Yeah, they just didn't seem to want to play us again because I don't know whether they pitied us or I don't know. But it was
a pitiable performance. Unfortunately, towards the end there, and we did have a couple of games where we're really holding on and doing well again for that first half, or even kind of halfway to the third quarter. And then, you know, we jinxed ourselves. We mentioned he who must not be named from the Golden State Warriors. We mentioned that we were doing all right. We mentioned that we led the game.
That was my bad.
we did everything wrong. Was it you, Kenny, had Klay Thompson's shooting form? Was that Leo?
It was me. And it was you. I have promptly changed it. I think
excellent.
My shooting form is now Dick Barnett, I think his name is. Is that, mm-hmm. that the name of the old Knicks player? He has like this really interesting quirk to his jump shot where he kicks both of his legs up. It's it's really interesting.
The Shane heel kick, or
I should know this because I was kind of a fan of his when he was playing for the Brisbane Bullets, but I couldn't tell you. But it's like a kick behind his back. I have to show you in order to.
Oh, behind his back. No, heels was more forward.
Oh, okay.
He would sort of swing the feet forward, as at least on some attempts it seemed.
Right.
So, yeah, we had a couple of decent quarters again. I had an assist that I really enjoyed to Leo when he took off from the free throw line for the dunk.
Yeah,
on the fast break.
That was pretty special. That's the safest dunk in 2K Pro-Am, as the X
apparently
points out to us. So not a whole lot of other dunks that are very safe for us, though. Apparently, I mean, I get at least one a game blocked. So
the back scratches are not.
Worse. I thought I took him out as well. Like, I'm pretty much like dealing exclusively in rim grazes, but. Yeah, every now and then I pull out a back scratcher, and it infuriates me.
They must be,
I think, part of the default deck dunk package.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it must be in that default package. Yeah, I actually, for that reason, actually made a couple of layups in the last game we played that I actually scored a few baskets for once with my beastly 74 overall player. Earn some more VC. I might be able to get up to 75 next time we play.
Yes, yeah, maybe. I think it takes like two levels in order to go up another rating. So,
but you'll see it if you see some of the. Do you have any of the full game footage on YouTube? Some of the times when we're being beaten out, beaten badly, or just highlights where we're actually kind of playing well.
Yeah, I tend to just put wins on there and kind of like notable plays and notable performances as well. So I guess in the future,
I mean, if you went back and looked at some of the ones where we've lost. I think you'd see us giving up a lot of three-point shots. That's the real killer, trying to defend that perimeter.
I've kind of been meaning to show, or at least like make a video of the calls we haven't been getting and that kind of stuff. But by the time I go into like Share Factory and stuff like that, I'm just like, you know, I don't want to bum myself out by doing that.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of footage of that. Yeah. So.
And it's just like, I just want to take the positives away and...
a good call.
Yeah. So I think what I want to do in the future is when somebody's having a notable game, like, I don't know, a 2010 or triple-double or something like that, just whoever it is, just let me know that they're having that kind of game and I will, like, put a note on one of the many post-its I have at my house and just, like... I'll put a note on it saying, okay, I need to focus on this game because so-and-so had a really good game. And then I can post that on YouTube as well. So that's something I'll try in the future.
Man, now I've got to find a way to have a really good game with my really underwhelming player. But we've played a lot of teams that are full of 90 overall recently, like people who are maxed out at 99.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this in the forum because a few, again, with 2K16 being... available through Instant Game Collection on PlayStation Plus this month, people are looking to join in on the Pro-Am, which is great. Be aware, you might have to carry us sometimes. But I mean, first of all, playing without a true center, because they've been putting you at center, Ben.
Yeah, and I'm 6'7" shooting guard / point guard in my career, so...
Yeah, so that's a disadvantage to put you out of position for a start. And we sort of don't have a big in there to really perhaps rebound and defend the paint as much as possible. This is on top of mistakes that we're definitely making as far as defensive breakdowns and everything. But my problem, being the 74 overall point guard, is I don't really have maxed out, or anywhere close, I should say, you know, I have anywhere close to maxed out speed ratings. So if I go up against a point guard who's even low 90s, but certainly when they're 97, 99... I'm probably contending with people who are maxed out speed rating. So on top of... There's not too much lag in 2K Pro-Am, but there's still obviously a bit more, not quite as responsive as offline. So you're trying to keep pace, accounting for a little bit of lag, and with someone who's, you know, already zipping about the court and has a maxed out speed rating, it's kind of tough. So we need that rim protector, I think, to when I'm inevitably beaten by these... kids who have clearly got their parents to spend on it, you know. There's no way that we've got legitimate competition.
As far as like the speed is concerned, it is crazy because my player himself actually has a max level athleticism rating, so you think I would be able to keep up with these speed merchants, but I obviously can't, and there's some reason behind that as well. But I was looking into it a bit, and my guy's a 93 overall. He has three max levels at, I think it's jump shooting, athleticism, and defense. And since it takes, like, I think it's two levels for the next, like, overall rating point, I kind of figured out that you need four at the max level and then, like, the other two at mid-level. So if you're a 99, you'd really don't have any weaknesses in your game, and I think that's something that needs to be addressed, because a part of playing basketball and playing it skillfully is knowing what your weaknesses are and kind of playing around that, and I don't think there's any of that involved when you're playing online.
But then, I mean, a 99 overall rating has usually been reserved for Michael Jordan in basketball games. Stephen Curry, of course, was 99 briefly in a recent 2K roster update, hashtag break the game. But you look at Michael Jordan in his prime, especially after he developed a bit of a three-point shot, or at least could knock it down confidently, he didn't really have any weaknesses at all.
But the thing is, those guys were transcendent players, and even like Steph Curry himself.
That's true.
And if everybody online has 99, then, you know, they're not special, honestly. Like, because they're all...
It should be challenging to get to there. I do like that you can't get to 99 strictly through buying your way. You have to play through My Career, do you not? To get the badges and so forth.
Yeah, because the cap is 88. So there is like that level of, I guess...
I'm glad they did that. Of course, on the PC version, people hack it and find ways to get around the bans, which is something they really need to take care of. Easier said than done, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fairly. So I'm not trashing 2K for doing that. It's easier for us to say, you know, pull out the Fry meme and fix it. but hopefully they can find a way, because that does... It's already, you know, you've got the smaller pool on the PC, smaller pool of users, so for people to actually be ruining the experience with the hacked players is pretty lousy. Fortunately, it doesn't really seem to be an issue on PS4.
Yeah. It's... I don't know. I still think the whole... the rating thing online needs to be addressed. Like, I don't like seeing a bunch of 99s, because 99s are rarer than guys that are 7'3", honestly.
Yes.
And
at least I haven't seen a lot of that, but I still feel that if you max out a big man, you can still get a little bit quicker than you probably should be. At least online, it could just be the lag. You know, if somebody gets the drop on you, it's very hard to compensate both the speed rating, as I said, and overcoming that lag. But it's mostly off ball. It's mostly off ball. You can usually stay in front of them with good foot movement and everything. But when they sort of zip off and they're just turboing, sprinting around in the half court,
One of the things I don't like is when they're like dribbling in front of you and you're like, okay, I can take this. Or no, even when you're doubling down on them and they're like posting up, you're like, okay, I can swipe this ball easily because this guy's a 7'3" center. His handle shouldn't be that great. But somehow you manage to get a reach in foul, or you don't steal a ball or something like that. And it's like, well, if this were real life, you would get one or the other, you would think. Like you'd get the steal like once in a while, because my guy's a level 20 defender. He should be getting a steal at once in a while, but it doesn't work out that way.
And you look at some of the players, some of the big men who can put the ball on the floor, your Hakeem Olajuwons, David Robinson. I remember even Kareem Abdul-Jabbar having on one of the Dazzling Dunks and Basketball Bloopers videos from the late 80s, early 90s, I remember him having breaking out and sort of taking it all, Kareem from half court, and the just going nuts over it. Oh, he's a dribble drive artist now. He's reinventing himself. and it was, you know, those skilled bigs can do it.
Mm.
But it's not with the same proficiency. I mean, Magic Johnson, I guess, being the one of the very rare exceptions. And, of course, he was not over 7 foot. But you don't see players who could put the ball on the floor, like a David Robinson, a Patrick Ewing, Shaq, to a certain extent. Shaq had some handles. Remember
when he was on Orlando, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, you remember some of the 96 All-Star game when he froze MJ in the pregame warm-ups, you know, with a crossover and everything. You know, it can happen, but by and large, even the best, they can't really do it time and time again and not handle it like a guard, like a John Stockton or even a Magic Johnson, so...
Well, yeah, a friend of mine mentioned that they have big man quickness, not guard quickness. So it's like two completely different things.
Yeah.
Sure. So a 90 for speed for a guard should not be 90 speed for a bulky center.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
David Robinson could run properly. I mean, I guess it's hard because there are those exceptions that can, but how do you... I guess it comes back to the Stephen Curry question of break the game. How do you account for somebody who is... defying logic defying logic in general.
My thing with that is, like, they just need to be treated as the exception, not the rule. Like, I hate seeing people online trying to emulate Steph Curry all the time, because it's like,
yes,
that dude is like the only player in the league that plays like that. And every other person, if they took shots, the same shots that Steph Curry took, they'd be called bad shots because they're not good at, as good a shooter as him. So,
yes.
Yeah. That might be a rant for another time, but yeah.
I guess the last few games have been a bit too frustrating to really enjoy some parts. On the bright side, we haven't really run into anyone with any really creepy branding this time around, in the last week anyway.
That's always good,
That's always a plus. But it's... I feel some. We might have to really just work on the game plan a little bit. You know, I'm seeing some of the highlights from the road to the finals. Obviously, they've really perfected that teamwork. And it's not that we play selfishly or anything, but I think sometimes we still have those bad habits, like driving into traffic rather than pulling up for that mid-range shot or making use of the floater. Although I put up a floater and it says there's a bad shot selection, so.
Yeah,
even though it's wide open, and I've there at the free throw line, you know, not a bad shot for a point guard, really. But
well, you know, just that thing,
grading logic.
Just the thing that there's really no mid range game in 2K.
Also, they want you to emulate Steph Curry, not Tony Parker. So
yeah,
I suppose. Yeah. I suppose we haven't had that spirit since NBA Live 09. So any other thoughts on Pro-Am in the last week, guys, and anything else that you're doing with the basketball games? I haven't done anything out of the ordinary that I haven't talked about on the site in any other capacity.
No, I haven't really. I've only just sort of been playing when we've done the Pro-Am stuff. I've been doing my course stuff and just playing a couple other games and that, so yeah.
I don't know, further updates on your My League, Kenny?
No, not at the moment. The most I've done this week is I bought a Mark Madsen card in my team, so that's the highlight of my week in basketball gaming.
Wow.
At this point,
it's not even Rasho.
They don't have Rasho, man. What the hell?
They don't have Rasho.
They don't. They might have Rasho, but I know they don't have Medvedenko, and that disappoints me.
Oh, man.
Pre-order
cancel. I mean, pre-order cancel, yeah, absolutely. I just thought, was Rasho on that 2004 Timberwolves team?
I don't know. No. I couldn't tell you, to be honest.
Let me just take a look.
Really much of a fan of his.
No. He was on the Spurs from 2003 to 2006.
Right.
I knew he was on the Spurs because they showed up a lot around that time on TV, on ESPN.
Yeah.
And that was when I first had my exposure to Stephen A. Smith. And he talked about Rasho a lot. So I didn't remember he was on the Spurs around circa 2005, 2006. But yeah, 2003 was the last time on the Timberwolves. So no, he does miss out on that that one. So maybe he's not in the game. You know.
Yeah, maybe.
And
that, I mean,
they want people to pre-order the game. And you know,
even if he was on the Timberwolves, there's still no guarantee. I mean, at the Detroit Pistons. They don't have Rasheed Wallace. And instead, they have Darko Milicic starting as their power forward. So,
oof.
Not even Mehmet Okur, which I thought was the next logical choice.
I know we've talked about it before, or maybe, well, I know Ben and I have. You might not have been on the shows for it, Kenny, but as much as I like them putting that bonus content in, it does kind of ring hollow if they can't secure at least the top 8 or 9 players in the rotation.
Yeah.
Or if nothing else, at least the starters, because they have been pretty good about that for a lot of the really old teams. You know, that what 2K has done with its historical content has been fantastic. You know, I've really enjoyed that NBA's greatest, naturally, the Jordan Challenge. It's become a little bit harder as the years have gone by and players haven't wanted to renew their licensing agreements and whatnot, but I feel it does kind of defeat the purpose when you can't include key players like that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think... like, my memory goes back to 2K13 and being really excited about playing with the Kings, and Chris Webber wasn't there. And I was like,
yes.
Well, what's the point? Because Chris Webber, for me, was that team. Like,
yeah, he was the main he was the man. He was the main star of that team. He was in 2K12, so which is why the team rolled over. But
yeah,
how long do you roll over a team that's progressively depleted of players who are actually they can still license?
And it was big disappointment for me because, I mean, Chris Webber was one of my favorite players in the 90s, so obviously I was very excited to be able to play like with him in the Kings lineup, or at least like when he was in his prime, and
yeah.
Wasn't there, unfortunately.
Well, I had a very memorable franchise mode with the Kings in NBA Live 2002, so I would have probably enjoyed playing with him as well, but not to be. I've kind of always liked to see Webb as a player, not so much as a commentator, I have to be, as I may have mentioned once or twice.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
It's, on one hand, I don't want to see them strip out any teams, but at the same time, if they're going to be so depleted, you might have to make that call. I think they have made that call on a couple of the teams over the last few years, but maybe you need to look at some other ones and decide whether it's worth adding them, especially when they do it for recent teams. I mean, if you've got to leave a few players out from 96 or 86 or something like that, you know, that's I guess you could kind of say, well...
So they need the Homer Simpson approach.
Which is?
When he was the coach and he has...
Okay.
I'm surprised you didn't jump into their reference so soon. Oh.
Well, when you said the Homer Simpson way, I mean... Homer Simpson's done a lot of stupid things in 27 seasons. Man, 27 seasons. Yeah, I can see a lot of people disagreeing with me on that one, and I understand the reason for keeping them in the game, especially if we can get some better modding facilities. We can do more with having them in the base game to begin with. But as I said, it just rings a bit hollow when you say, "Oh, well, here's the 2000 Blazers or the 2004." Pistons, but Rasheed Wallace isn't there, and this player isn't there, and that player isn't there. It's like, well, it's not really. You know, you could just whack create a team in there, and let us make it ourselves if we can't really, if we don't really have it to begin with.
Yeah, pretty much.
But we will see what they do. I mean, maybe they can license some of those players.
Yeah, you know, hopefully
going forward, that would be ideal if they can change the situation there. But yeah, it was a bit unfortunate to see. See them add some recent teams. I did like the fact that they added some teams that hadn't been in the game before, or they were a bit unorthodox, like your 2000 Raptors, for example.
Yeah, that was cool. Do they have Glenn Robinson by any chance? I'm just being reminded by my ambient background.
Glenn Robinson? For what team?
Any team. I'm just, you know, the whole big dog thing.
I don't think they had a Bucks team in there. And I don't know if he was... after he moved anywhere else. Let me just see where else he ended up.
Because I was looking for him in 2K16 and he wasn't there. Because I had this idea to have like a Blacktop series, like father versus son kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
And he wasn't there.
No, so they don't think the 2005 Spurs are in the game. And he was on the 2003, 2004, 76ers, 2002, 2003, season with the Hawks. And the first 8 seasons or so with the Bucks.
And seriously, guys, like the late 90s Spurs without Andrew Gaze, are they kidding me?
Yeah. The most important of all.
Yeah.
Yeah, bench warmers that year.
The whole 48 minutes in the season.
The equivalent of a game.
Yep.
You know, Glenn, speaking of Glenn Robinson, there's a name that kind of dropped off after... really making it big sort of around the turn of the century.
Yeah.
Kind of like Michael Redd in a lot of ways, or just less injury prone type version of, but yeah.
Yeah, injuries certainly decimated Redd.
So you're saying getting drafted by the Bucks is no good?
Well, it seems to have worked out for Bogut, okay, I guess.
It took a while. You know, his production hasn't really been the same since that elbow injury and that, but yeah.
Oh, well, at least you're getting minutes in these finals. And
yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's a bit better this year than he was last year.
And I guess speaking of which, that has come time to talk a little about the real NBA. And, of course, the 2016 NBA Finals tipped off last week. We made our predictions, which we'll cover in more detail shortly. They didn't turn out so well. And to be honest, guys, the games haven't turned out so well. I watched as much of the games as I could stomach, to be honest. They've been, you know, obviously stepping on Stephen A. Smith's toes here and borrowing, you know, I won't be as passionate about it as he was, but the Cavs' effort has not been impressive at all. Not to take anything away from the Warriors, but when Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson aren't even at their best, they've kind of been a bit quiet, to say the least, in the finals. In fact, if I look at some of the numbers here, Stephen Curry just has only been playing 30 minutes a game, 14.5 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, although he's almost averaging 5 turnovers as well. No steals, 1 block in the 2 games so far, shooting 42%, 43% from 3-point range, so he's not even stroking it like he usually does. He was 4 of 15 in the first game. So Curry has not been a non-factor as such, but considering how he's been the driving force all season, it's certainly, you know, it's been Sean Livingston in game 1, Draymond Green in game 2. Klay Thompson is, yeah, he's 10 of 25, 38% from the field. So he and Curry, once again, are not having spectacular series. It's been the role players who've been carrying the Warriors once again. But on the other side of the coin, you've got the... You've got the Cavs. LeBron is averaging 21, 10, and 9. So once again, close to a triple-double, but he's shooting 42% from the field. He's not really taking over at all. Kind of, I guess, hollow assists in some respects. Again, he's got 11 turnovers. He had 7 turnovers in game 2. As for the final score itself, game 1, 104 to 89. Game 2, 110 to 77. It's funny, game 2 was on at the same time as this week's Game of Thrones, and my 14-year-old self would probably have chosen basketball over any drama series, although Game of Thrones has boobs, so there is that, boobs, dragons, and swords, so 14-year-old self might have been into that as well, but I didn't regret my choice of choosing a television show I really like, a scripted show, over... presumably not scripted basketball game and a finals game at that. This may shape up to be one of the most lopsided, disappointing, and lousy finals in history, the way it's shaping up right now, unless the Cavs actually show up and take a game or two and be competitive. The Warriors are going to storm to the championship, and I said it in the forum, but if game 3 doesn't really change things, I might not bother watching the rest of the finals.
I wonder what the ratings would be overall compared to, you know, they had what was last year's one or the year before was like one of the highest rating ones that they've had.
Yeah, so the game 7 of the Western Conference Finals was the highest rated NBA game on cable ever. You know, it got up there with some of the highest rated games that we've seen in the past. And I guess that was the real championship series, wasn't it? The Thunder versus the Warriors, which a lot of people said coming into the series, but I thought the Cavs would put up a little bit more of a fight, to be honest. Than, you know,
I think the Cavs. 15... I think they'll have more resiliency than people give them credit for. Like, both games were in California, so I haven't written them off just yet. But yeah, it's not looking really good at the moment.
No. And here's the other thing. You know, I mentioned Curry's numbers. If you had to pick a finals MVP, I think it's going to be Draymond Green if the current trend continues.
Wash your mouth out, Andrew.
I know. It's it pains me to say it. I mean, as we've said, we don't like his attitude, but you certainly have to give it to him as a player. 22, 9, and 6 at the moment. 2.5 steals a game. Knocked down all those threes. 7 of 14. On the series, and a bunch of them in game 2. In fact, he was, what was he in game 2? 5 of 8 from 3 in game 2, where he scored 28 points.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to go on record now, before everybody else says it next year, and say that it'll be an absolute travesty if Steph Curry doesn't win the finals MVP this year.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Particularly, but you know, if Iggy gets it again, it'll be a travesty.
Oh, naturally. Well, he hasn't. His numbers aren't quite as good this season. I think it's going to be Green if it's going to be anyone.
If the
current trend.
If I'm being serious, though, I'll be rooting for Sean Livingston to get it because he did have a great first game, and I'm hoping like if it's a sweep and he can do it for two games, surely he's in the conversation.
Well, if these numbers continue and Curry does get Finals MVP, I think it's going to be one of the weakest Finals MVPs ever given because this is not so far. He's absolutely been the MVP of the season so far, but this series, if his numbers continue along this line while Draymond Green is basically carrying them, I think that would be a travesty if he does get Finals MVP. And so here's the thing: it looks like the Warriors are going to win the 73-9, the getting through the playoffs. If they sweep the finals, obviously that's going to be the more fodder to the greatest team of all time. The one last thing that I'll throw out there as a bitter old Bulls fanboy, obviously, and it's nothing to do with the competition. I mean, you always ultimately have to play the competition, and I hate the suggestion the Bulls only got 72-10 in the championship that year because it was a weak league. You play the competition you have, and for crying out loud, they had Judd Bushler and Bill Winnington in their key rotation, and yet they won 72 games in the championship. No. I would say if, because there were people that argued against them being the best team of all time, the 96 Bulls, despite having the record for the last 20 years. They'd put out one of the Showtime Lakers, the 86 Celtics, one of Russell's teams, the 72 Lakers that won the 33 straight games and the championship that year. So if the Bulls weren't automatically the best team of all time then simply beating that record shouldn't make the Warriors automatically the best team now.
No, and I think, you know, it's fine for them to be in the conversation, but...
Absolutely, in the conversation. I mean, they're going to have the most wins ever by virtue of the 73 wins in the regular season and...
The 7-7-7 system.
And the 7, so they got the extra win in the playoffs as well. So, although, because they've already got the 14 losses, they will not have the best all-time winning record, playoffs and regular season, just put that there. But, no, they're absolutely in the conversation, and... As are still the Bulls, as are the 86 Celtics, and I think it's usually the 87 Lakers they talk about, or 85 or 87. 72 Lakers, some of Russell's teams, of course. Some great teams with Bill Russell, with all those Hall of Famers on them. And if nothing else, if Curry doesn't get the Finals MVP, I'm just going to say there's no way you can say, you know, Jordan who or Muhurva Jordan, because there's no way that anyone else on that Bulls team, Scottie Pippen maybe, but even he didn't have the killer instinct of an MJ to guide them the same way that Jordan would carry them, you know, the 98 finals when Pippen was ailing in Game 6. If Curry, you know, you look at the numbers that he's put up in the finals the last 2 years, they don't match up to what Jordan did. I'm sorry, that's just a fact.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, for all the people that are saying Curry is the greatest in that, he's yet to prove it on the biggest stage, which is the finals.
Yeah.
So, yeah, until that happens.
One great season and no historic finals performances, you know. He is the greatest shooter of all time. I think the numbers bear that out. Had a great season this year. You can probably say he's the best player in the league, maybe not the best two-way player. Apparently that's Klay Thompson, according to Mark Jackson.
And according to Stephen A. Smith as well, I think I saw him tweet that once. But yeah, that wouldn't be the first, I wouldn't say insane thing, but maybe slightly wrong thing that Mark Jackson has said this playoffs.
Yep.
I do remember him saying that, what was it? The supporting cast that LeBron had last year was worse than the 76ers team of this year. He did put that out there, and I was like, did Mark Jackson just say that, or did I just dream that? Because that's just the stupidest thing I've heard in a really long time.
That is ridiculous.
And this is during a time where Reggie Miller's an analyst as well, so you hear a lot of stupid things.
Serge Ibaka, the best shooter on the Thunder.
So it's like, oh, man.
Really, Reggie? Really? Man. So, you know, fanboyish defenses of the 96 Bulls and Jordan aside, I still think those are valid points, and bringing them up does not make you a hater, despite what many people would say. Word is used way too much, but I've ranted about that enough. Yeah, it's very hard to get excited about the rest of the finals the way they've gone so far.
I agree. I saw a little bit of game one. Oh, most of the second half of game one, near the end of it, and that before I had to go to classes and stuff. So yeah, it was hasn't been exciting. It's kind of disappointing, really, to what was a pretty interesting season in that sense. So it's like anticlimactic.
I think both conference finals were far more exciting, and if they just ended the season there, I'd be like, cool, we'll have two winners, I don't care.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, and then, yeah, it's just been a real anticlimax, I guess.
LeBron like when probably wouldn't mind agreeing with you right now.
It's like when you get an album that has a really good second last song, and then the last one's just, like, one that he just had to put on there because of, like, contractual reasons.
Yeah, a
filler. It's like, yeah, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm just not going to listen to that last song and, you know, go back to the beginning of that album. I think that's pretty much what's going on.
It's like a
hidden
track.
I guess, yeah, a hidden track.
So we're not actually doing, spoilers, we're not doing a bold prediction this week. We're wrapping that up to go to a new segment, although we will talk a little bit more about that in a moment, but if you had to predict the rest of the series, which way do you think it's going to go now? I'll say the Cavs still take one. I originally said that it was going to be Warriors in six. I'll now say Warriors in five. Wouldn't be surprised if it's a sweep. I'll say it's five, but would not be shocked if it ends in a sweep.
I'm pretty much same boat. I'm thinking five at most. I don't think the Cavs have got it in them right now. And yeah, make way for free agency is all I'm going to say.
See, my heart says Cavs in six, but my head says Warriors in four. So we'll see which one wins out, I guess.
Split the difference and say Warriors in five. So.
What the hell? Cavs in six. Why not?
Episode 6, okay. It's not an official bold prediction, but there you go. So you were not. There's nothing to lose. There's no points to lose.
That's
so.
Right, yeah. I'm taking a shot after the buzzer.
Yeah. You're doing the old Stacey King. When the Bulls would win in a blowout, he takes a three-pointer at the end of the game, even though he should be dribbling it out. So as I said, we are kind of wrapping up bold predictions because it's a bit hard to do during the off-season, and we discussed it before we started recording, and we all decided that we were pretty much going to be talking about this. It's going to be the same prediction, you know, as you said, Ben, you know, the Cavs are going to win this game, or the Cavs are going to win two games, or the Warriors are going to sweep. It's, we're all going to sort of have a similar theme.
Yeah.
So did decide to bring an end to bold predictions for the season. But just to recap the final numbers after my terrible 76ers start, or terrible if you prefer, a terrible start. 7 of 26 is my final score. So at least I got on the board. I think I even got two in a row once. So after getting the first 14 wrong, that was some kind of dignity to salvage. Ben, you got 12 of 26, so you have the most points and the best percentage at just under 50%. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Kenny, you came along, obviously, more recently, so you haven't had as many shot attempts. You are a respectable 3 of 8, so you're still doing better than I am. And you got the first three, I believe.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Kind of, I guess it's like the old Icarus fable, like flew a bit too close to the sun and a few of them, but
I'm still
happy with my result in the end.
Well, I think we've had some fun with the bold predictions over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And especially when we've had the three-man booth. And we will bring it back at some point. Again, probably hard to do during the off season unless we make some predictions about the games, and that we could all lose a lot of points predicting things that are going to come out about the games
definitely.
For the next week.
Yeah.
especially if since there's only going to be one game leading up till September that it's going to be previewed most likely. So we will might have to have other segments in that time. And in that spirit, it is now trivia time. Yes, a brand new segment, and let's see what I do with post-production. I haven't decided yet. of course, you'll be listening to this, kind listeners, with post-production effects, so you'll know.
It needs that 70s game show music.
I'll see what I can get. I'll see what I get royalty-free. No. Well, as I said, listeners, you'll know what's happened because I've already done it in post-production, but nevertheless, it is time for trivia time, and the way I'm going to do this is I'm going to ask Ben, I'm going to ask you a question, I'll ask Kenny a question. Now, if Ben gets the question wrong, goes over to Kenny so he can have a shot and get the point. Same on the second question. If we end with a tie, I do have a third question, or it can just be one that that's one that you'll both jump in on, that you, whoever gets there first for a tiebreaker, or an extra point, then the scores will roll over to the next week. So, are we all clear on the rules of the game?
Yep.
Yes.
Hopefully everyone listening is also clear that I've explained that in the least contrived way possible.
Actually, one question I will ask. If the person who jumps in on the last one, they get it wrong, is it does the other person, A, get a chance?
Good question, yes.
Or you get a B, shot. Is the other person automatically win by default in that sense?
No, you'll get a chance to have an extra point because the scores will roll over.
All right.
So we'll see if we can crown like a winner each week with a tiebreaker, yep. But otherwise, you know, it'll have a running score, running tally.
Okay.
So, Ben.
Yes.
Your first question.
Crap.
Well, I like the confidence.
Thank you.
Which is the only game in the NBA Live series to feature three-team trades?
Ooh.
Now I need the Jeopardy music here or something to put in there. Find some royalty-free music on that one as well.
I have a feeling you mentioned it a couple of weeks, like within the last couple of podcasts too.
Oh, I've mentioned it in recent articles, yes.
Damn it.
The website's down, so we can't cheat.
Yep.
That's right. Oh, well, it's actually working for me, so okay. But I know the answer anyway, so...
I have a feeling it was like an early 2000s one.
Mm-hmm.
Pre 2006.
That's a game in the NBA Live series. I'll give you that.
Yep.
Very helpful.
Can I ask, was it a PC release version? Can I ask those kind of questions, or do I have to come up with...
I can't remember if it was in the console version as well. It definitely was in the PC version, yes.
Okay, so that eliminates 2002. Thank you. Because that only just came out on console. I'm probably going to get this wrong. I'll say 2003?
I'm afraid not. No three-team trades in that one. Kenny?
I'm just going to say 04.
I'm afraid not. It was 2001.
Ooh, that's really early.
The only game to have three-team trades in the NBA Live series to date, although I would definitely like to see it come back.
I was thinking that too, and I was like, and that's why I was trying to eliminate if it was 2002. Like, but then I thought, oh, that may have been too early. Damn it.
And in coming into next week, Ben and Kenny will be 0-0.
Yeah.
Well, I may have to amend my my questions, but... You know, this is also for the audience at home listening as well.
Right,
so
right.
If you got that, congratulations. So Kenny, it's your question now.
Right.
So you have a chance to get on the board, and if you answer wrong, then Ben has the opportunity. But that being said, Kenny, which was the we're still going on live trivia here. Which was the first game in the NBA Live series where you could trade draft picks?
Oh my. Let's see.
Because there's been a lot of them, but we're after the first.
The first, right. I'm guessing it's not as early as 01. But probably not as late as 06. So somewhere in that region, I'm guessing. But let's see. I'll go with 04 again.
04, you are correct.
Oh,
you're
wow.
on the board with a point.
Damn.
Yes, it was totally, the first year of Dynasty Mode. NBA Live 2003 had Franchise Mode from 2000 through 2003. Franchise Mode, when they revamped into Dynasty Mode, added some cool features, including the cutscenes, the Dynasty cutscenes, which I'd like to see make a return at some point, and trading of draft picks, which fortunately remains in the game in Dynasty Mode to this day.
Yes.
So I am going to throw out the third question. This is an opportunity for you to take a commanding 2-0 lead, Kenny, or if you can get into it, Ben, to get on the board.
Alrighty.
So from we're still talking about some of my favorite basketball games, obviously, from NBA Live to NBA Jam now. Which of the following people was not a secret character in NBA Jam, any NBA Jam game that includes Tournament Edition, NBA Jam Extreme, Hang Time, etc., and the original. The Phoenix Suns Gorilla, DJ Jazzy Jeff, Bill Clinton, or Magic Johnson?
Magic Johnson. I don't think they can get the rights to him.
That is correct. Magic Johnson.
Yes.
Jack. Because I was like, I knew about the gorilla, I knew about DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah, and I knew about Clinton.
I didn't know about Clinton, so that was like, yeah, I was going to say Clinton.
Now, I should note that in the EA Sports NBA Jam by EA Sports, Magic Johnson has appeared as an unlockable player, but not a secret player as that could be unlocked via a code. In NBA Jam Tournament Edition, however, Larry Bird was unlockable via a cheat code.
Nice.
So that is the game. It is 1-1 as of the first week. Don't know about you guys. I had some fun.
Yeah, that was good.
It's interesting. I would be willing to do that again.
So we'll give that a go in future weeks, and hopefully you listening at home enjoyed it as well, and either learned something or able to smugly yell out the question, and if you're listening to the podcast in public,
it means the answer.
Draw some funny looks, maybe.
You mean the answer or the question?
The answer. Sorry, yeah. So that kind of brings us to the end of episode number 162 of the NLSC podcast. A little bit shorter this week, not as much to talk about, but that's the way it goes sometimes. We're not going to ramble any longer when we don't really have that much to talk about this week. Nevertheless, we hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, naturally encourage you to, you can stream it every week on the NLSC, but you can also subscribe to us on iTunes. Feel free to leave us a rating there and a comment, a review, if you want to help us get some visibility and let us know we're doing a good job. In fact, anywhere you want to leave us a compliment, we're pretty happy with that. You can also find us on Stitcher. If you want to listen to us on the go, just download the app and search for NLSC Podcast. You'll find us pretty easily doing that. And as always, we invite you to connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. We're on Twitter @the NLSC. And keep it locked to NBA-live.com. Even though as we're recording this, having some technical issues, normally we're always there and doing fun things with basketball video games and talking about basketball in the forums. So, having said that, thank you again for listening. I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And I'm Kenny.
And rest in peace, Sean Rooks. See you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.